Would you turn now to the chapter we read together, Matthew chapter 22, and taking as our text this evening verse 42. Matthew 22, 42. We read from 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, and so on. And particularly to focus in and seeking to ask ourselves that great question that we have here. What think ye of Christ? My friends, when I was asked to come to the conference here, I was glad to do so. And when I was asked to give an evangelistic address at this family conference, I of course agreed to that as well. But the more I thought about it, the more I wondered about the validity of delivering such a sermon to a group like this. After all, what we have here, is it not, is a group of church-going, obviously to some degree at least, committed people, that you are all committed to some degree to the things of God. So then, is it right for me to bring such an address to you this evening? And again, is it not true that not all who have come to an age here, are you not Christians? An age of understanding? Are you not Christians? And are not the young ones, mostly if not all, are you not covenant children? How then dare I come from Scotland into your midst here and challenge you as to what you think of Christ, to challenge you about your standing before God, your view of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Surely everyone here who is of an age of understanding will already have worked that out for themselves and maybe don't need anyone to come to ask this. And that, friends, was a thought I can say that I had about how to do this or what was the reason for it. One thing that came to mind as I pondered on this, I remember some years ago I was at a Banner of Truth conference down in Leicester in England, and there were around, and still is, I believe, I've been there for a few years, but there were around 350 ministers all gathered together in this great hall, being addressed by some of the great speakers, great preachers indeed, from around the world. And one of the addresses there, as I sat there, one of the addresses there given by an experienced man of God, and addressing the 350 ministers, this is how he began, and I paraphrase a bit, but this is how it was as I remember it. Brethren, he said, I know that you are all ministers of the gospel. But brethren, he said, I cannot take it for granted that you're all Christians. You could hear a pin drop, as you can imagine, in the hall with such a statement. You could hear that there was an intake of breath, including mine. What was my reaction to that? Well, initially, what an insulting statement to make. 350 ministers of the gospel and wondering if they were Christians. But then, was it really an insulting statement to make? Was it really? I realized that thinking about it, the man was absolutely right. He wasn't elevating himself, by the way, above anyone else. But he was absolutely correct in what he said. Why should he take for granted that everyone there, ministers, albeit ministers, were Christians? Why should he take it for granted that anyone who made public profession was a Christian? Why should I take for granted tonight that even those of you here who make public profession, that you are Christians? And friend, what that man said, and if it was true, surely of those who stand before the people as ministers, could be challenged about this. Why could it not be true of even some of you here tonight? Maybe you're thinking now, as I thought there, what an insult to me. Well, friend, I would like you to really think about this. You who claim to be a Christian here this evening, you who claim, minister or otherwise, you claim that the Lord has worked in your life, you who make profession of faith, men, women, boys, and girls, are you insulted by such a thought? Do you think, how dare anyone question my commitment to the Lord? How dare anyone question where I stand before God? I'm a member of a church. I faithfully attend. I made profession of faith umpteen years ago. Why does anyone question that? Well, friends, you know, you remember what the Lord and how he addressed the church at Sardis. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. This was a church, friends. A church made up of people like you and I. A church made up of those who professed to be Christians. And yet, here is the Lord's statement, condemnation. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. I wonder, does that frighten you yourself sometime? Surely there's not a true Christian here tonight who doesn't and hasn't asked themselves from time to time, is my profession a true profession? Am I what I profess to be? Surely there's nothing wrong with us asking that question. Surely even it can be profitable for us to do so. So friends, I am here tonight and I am going to ask you the question here, asking everyone within these walls tonight, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? What is your view of him? The context here, as we know, is of course the Sadducees seeking to entrap the Lord. We have that from verse 23 onwards. And when they failed, along come the Pharisees, and they seek to do likewise. So the Lord deals with them, and then this question comes out. And I would like, and I hope and pray I'm not taking it out of the context, but as it stands on its own, I think it's a good question that we can ask ourselves here this evening particularly. And so what we think of Christ is the most important thing for us this evening. Not what you think of the conference, not what you think of the speakers, not what you think of the books out there, not what you think even of your Bible. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? And you know, friends, when we think, what we think will more often than not govern what we say, and more often than not govern what we do as well. You know what is said, sow a thought and you reap an action, sow an action and you reap a habit. And that can be a very negative thing at times. Now, every one of us here, from the youngest child to the oldest person, we're all to some degree thinkers. All of us. We think. That is part of what we are. And when we're asked a question, we may need to give some thought or think for a moment or two before we answer. So I'm asking you again tonight to give thought to the answer. What is your answer to the Lord's question? If he's asking you directly here tonight, what think ye of me? Think about it as being directed to yourself personally. Not just that I'm saying it, but that Christ is saying it. What do you think of the Lord? How do you consider him as he is brought before you in his word? You know, if I was a school teacher, like Pastor Matul there, and I asked you tonight, you were all my class, and I went round you all and asked you individually the question, and asked you directly this question as individuals, would you be afraid to answer? How would you answer? Could you answer positively? Could you answer without any doubt in your mind? Or could you just have words, knowing that all it is just words? Could that possibly be? Of course. Those of us in school from time to time, some of us who can think back that far, sometimes we gave an answer which we knew nothing about really, but we knew it was what teacher wanted to hear. And sometimes, friends, there's a danger that we can fall into that way as far as the things of God are concerned. How would you answer? I would say to you, first of all, be careful how you answer. Think about what you're going to say. Now, you're here, some of you already. As I say this, no doubt in your mind you've thought out the answer. But I ask you again, is it true? What you're saying, is it true? Why is this question so important? Well, I'll tell you why, friends. Because in a very real sense, where you spend eternity could depend on how you answer this question. That's how important it is. That's how vital it is. It's all about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Above everything else, this is what you have to face up to you. And I would like, friends, to suggest to you four answers that are commonly given. And there are maybe many more, but I think this covers maybe, and I hope most, if not all of us here. First of all, what think ye of Christ? And some will say, I hardly ever think about him. Hardly ever. And then others may say, well, I think about him on the Lord's day. And others may say, well, I've got many thoughts of him, but, and there's a but in it. And then finally, there may be some here to say, I think that I love him. So these four things then as headings for us. What think ye of Christ? Hardly ever. Now notice, friends, I haven't included in my list of possible answers, I never think about him. Why have I not? Because no one of any age of understanding could be here at this conference at this time who has never thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that we would all agree on that, have some thoughts. But you may be here this evening, and the truth is that while you have thought about him occasionally, while you have thought about what he's done, while you've thought about his claims maybe occasionally, that he's a son of God and so on, yet it has never been more than just a fleeting thought, a little while, and it's gone. And you don't really give true thought to the matter at all. And you're quite happy with that. And it doesn't bother you or trouble you in any way whatsoever. And even at this conference, when you've heard certain things and some wonderful truths that have been brought before you, even these things, they've got to say, well, gone in one ear and out the other. And even when you're listening, and yes, I dare say even now, some of you are switched off already. And some of you already here at this time will be looking forward to this finishing because you don't want to think about Christ. And your mind in these last few days maybe have been miles away from this beautiful spot. Is that not true of some? I say to you, be honest with yourself before God. Be honest with yourself. Is that not true about some here this evening? Well, I know you've come here. And I know some of you have come back year after year after year. And I know some of you have come with your wives because they wanted to come. And some of you come with your husbands because they want to come. Or parents or whatever. But you'd rather be somewhere else. Because you are not really thinking about Christ ever, hardly ever does it enter into your mind what's involved in thinking about Christ. And so the truth of the matter is, while you're here, the Lord Jesus Christ is of no real interest to you. Or you can hardly not have some thoughts when you go to church on the Sunday. You can hardly not have some thoughts when you're taken to places like this. But at the end of the day, what you're saying is, not for me. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to think about these things. And Christ's claims and heaven and hell's teaching and the warnings of what sin is and what your sin deserves and where your sin leads you, I leave it for another day. I don't want to think too much about these things. Are some of you here like that tonight? Is that the way it is with you? Don't really want to get involved in these things at this time? Indeed, some of you are like, I believe, like, remember the sons-in-law of Lot when he went to warn them about Sodom. And they thought he was mocking, that he was joking with them. And they laughed at him when he warned them of the destruction that would be theirs if they remained in Sodom. And you might be here right now, this minute, listening to me and thinking the very same thing. This is a joke. This is just a mocking. Nothing's going to happen to me. Why should it? Why should I believe these things? Friend, is that you? Thinking about Christ? Not if you can help it. You may even be here tonight, and this may be strange, friends, but I believe this is so, that some here tonight may be having a Bible in their hand, and they think of it as nothing but another storybook. A book that is of no great consequence whatsoever. Could that be possible? Of course it can be. If you know anything about your own heart, friends. Maybe thinking that heaven and hell are myths. That when you die, and you know you're going to die, you accept that, but you think, well, that's it, that's the end. Nothing after death. Oh, my friend, let me say this to you. If you're here tonight and maybe nobody else knows you're thinking like this, if you're here tonight and you're thinking in that way, here amongst even this gathering this evening, let me say this to you. The moment that death finds you, and you open your eyes on the other side of death, the horror of what you've allowed to happen, the horror of what you got yourself into, will be beyond words. And all you'll realize then, this is no myth. You'll realize then what a fool I've been. But you know what also you'll realize then, friends? Too late. Yes. Too late. Is that you tonight? Oh, some of you here, you younger ones especially. Could this be true for some of you? Is that how it's going to be for you? But let me not exclude either some of you are older. Of those I spoke earlier who may well be making profession of faith. Could this be true of you? And I believe, friends, that such people, and you know, my dear friends, some of you here are the most privileged people to come to a gathering like this, to have people, elders and pastors over you who love your souls, to have friends who pray for you, family who pray for you. You know, friends, for you, the end is going to be the worst. Far worse than the heathen in Africa who never heard the gospel. Because you heard and you haven't made the best use of it. And you'll be there, friend, on that horrible day. And as the flames of hell lick round your ankles, you will begin an eternity of pain and agony that we cannot even describe. And you who now say, I hardly ever think of Christ, you'll spend eternity cursing his holy name and cursing yourself for your foolishness and lost opportunities. What think ye of Christ? Oh, some say, hardly ever. But then there are others who say, I think about him on the Lord's Day. And I fear that there may be many of whom this is true, who are what we call Sunday Christians. I fear that there are many like this who may make profession of faith, and yet it is all about one day of the week. And their Christianity and your Christianity is built on just that. One day a week. As long as you're found in church on the Sabbath, maybe a midweek prayer meeting, Bible study, you don't think you need to think about anything else. And you don't think you need to think too much of Jesus for the other days of the week. Does that fit? Does that fit someone here tonight? Be honest with yourself. Is that the way your mind works? And you don't have to think, and you think you don't need to worry about the other days. One day in seven. One day in seven, and what you do for the other 6 days of the week is nobody's business. I'll just get on with my life as I please, as long who can find fault with me, as long as I'm in church on Sunday, as long as I occasionally come to the prayer meeting, midweek meeting, as long as I have this outward forum. So your lifestyle, your antinomianism, if you like, it suits you down to a T. Are there some like that here this evening? Are there? Are you here tonight? If the Spirit of God moved, I'm here tonight, would you stand up and acknowledge that? That this could be true of you? Oh, but God has just given us one day in seven to worship him. Surely if I do that, that's what's required of me. Friend, you think in that way, I say this to you, with all due respect, you're nothing but a Pharisee. Whatever you may think of the kind of Christian you are, whatever profession you make, whoever you've married, whoever your father is, your mother is this true? Is this how it is with you? And so you put up with the Lord's Day. You put up with it just because you know, well, I'd better do this, just keep everybody happy, and so I go through the motions, and that's all you do. Oh, my friend, what think ye of Christ? Doesn't it say how little you think of who he is and what he has done, if that's how it is with you? It shows, friend, that there is no substance in your so-called faith that you have. Oh, yes. Some will say, oh, I've got faith. You know, friends, one of the things that in my part of the world that I hear often, but I've got faith. Faith in what? Usually it's faith in themselves. That's the problem. Is that you tonight? Faith in yourself and not in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the one you need to have faith in. But some others will say, oh, but I know that the Lord lives, and I know the Lord is good to me. I have proof in my life. I've seen how he's helped me in so many ways. And so because you think of God in that way, it's like, if I can speak with reverence, it's like a Santa Claus figure to you. That comes one day a week that you have to deal with. And that's all that is necessary. And so what happens? God is good to me. Yes, I see his hand in things. Things have worked out for me. It must be God has done this for me. So what do you do? Well, I'll go to church one day a week just to pay him back. And to show that I appreciate what he has done. And so there you are. There's a problem immediately for you. If you know anything about Scripture, you'll know how far removed that is from what you ought to be. The Lord is good. Of course he is. Of course he is. But if you imagine that you can pay back God by just going to church one day a week, friend, you're deluding yourself. Indeed, you're the greatest of fools. The greatest of fools. If you think that's how it is. You know, it's funny, but maybe I'm sure that the other pastors here and the elders, that you find when you go visiting homes, those who are just Lord's Day church attenders, and this you'll find very often with them, they're happy enough to talk about God. They're happy enough to discuss God in general, his providence, his kindness, but then you challenge them about what think ye of Christ. You challenge them about their soul and the Savior. And they feel uncomfortable about it, but this isn't Sunday. What are you asking me these things, they think? That's for one day of the week. And so they don't want to hear about it, they want to think about it. And when you ask them these things, a barrier goes up immediately. And they're not willing to open up in any way whatsoever. Might be an embarrassed silence or a few muttered words of no consequence whatsoever. And they can't wait for you to leave, or they can't wait for you to change the subject. Friend, do you recognize yourself in that? Do you? You younger ones here? Do you get embarrassed when your pastor comes to speak to you? Do you get embarrassed to tell him about what's going on in your life? Are you a Sunday Christian? You think about him one day a week, and that is all. Is that true of you here this evening? You come out of church on the Sunday, and you shake your pastor's hand at the door, and you say, thank you for the service. And off you go, and it has made no difference whatsoever to your life. None whatsoever. And Monday comes, and you've forgotten all about it. And oh yes, you'll be there next Sunday. Of course you will. Who would think that I wouldn't go to church on Sunday? Of course I go to church. It's the Lord's Day. I'm going to church. And your religion is all about that. One day a week, given to the Lord. And nothing more than that. And so your spirituality and your faith is put under the shelf with your Bible till next week. And that's all that there is. Is that, friend, how you are? Is that the Jesus you think about? A one day in seven Jesus Christ? One who has claims on your life for just one day a week? Oh, my friend, beware. If that is how it is with you. And I'm just not speaking here to those who would say that they're not Christians. I am especially speaking to some of you who profess to be Christians. And don't sit here tonight, my friend, thinking, oh, I can think of one like that. There's one two rows in front of me. There's one sitting behind me or beside me. That's how they are. What about yourself? What about your own standing? How are things with your own soul between yourself and the Lord? Friend, beware of the danger you are in. And if you are here without Christ, and this is also true of you, all you're doing is an outward thing one day a week, you also beware of what's awaiting. You know what? God is long-suffering towards you. But you know something else? God's long suffering is coming to an end. Oh, yes, it is. You may think it'll be tomorrow, will be as today, and so on. But God's long suffering towards some of you is fast coming to an end. Make no mistake about it. You may fool your pastor. You may fool your husband. You may fool your wife. You may fool your elder, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, whoever. But God searcheth the heart. Is your heart right? This is all about the heart, friends. It's all about what you are before the Lord. What think ye of Christ? It's amazing, friends, young and old here tonight. It's amazing that with such a cavalier attitude towards the Son of the Lord Jesus, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing with an attitude that you have towards Him that God hasn't already said, enough! Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Do you feel that? Have you ever thought when you go to bed, what if? What if something happens in the night? What if I get ill? What if I die? Are you ready for that? Oh, you young people, don't ever think. That only happens to older people. I'm sure you know very well. Most of us know young people. I'm sure everybody does. Who died, as we say, before his time. If that was you, where would you spend eternity? What has been prepared for you? Have you made ready? What think ye of Christ, my friend? So yes, there are some who say only on the Lord's Day. But then thirdly, there are those who say, well, yes, I have many thoughts of Christ, but there's a but at the end of your sentence. I have many thoughts about these things, but of course I believe in God, you say. Of course I believe in God. Oh, my friend, you're in good company. The devils believe and tremble. Do you tremble when you think about God? The devils tremble when they think about God. Scripture tells us the devils believe and tremble. So whatever else, it's not enough to believe in God at the very basic level. Believing God saves no one. But maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, I do often think of the Lord Jesus. I do often try to listen to the sermons. I do often try to read my Bible. I think of why He came. I know that I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. Oh, friend, I'm glad if you're thinking in that way. I am glad if you're thinking of Christ in that way. But if you're thinking in that way, that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved, and that Christ is the Savior, and I say, I know all these things, I'm glad to hear it, but what's keeping you, friend, then from casting your all upon the Lord? What's keeping you from committing yourself to the Lord? You don't have to be a certain age. Young people, commit yourselves to the Lord now. This is the day of salvation. You may not be promised tomorrow. Older people, oh, you older ones here. You know, sometimes, and we were speaking about this earlier on this week, I know it is good to have much happening in our churches with the young people. I think it is vital for us, and we mustn't ignore them. But humanly speaking, the older you are, without Christ, then the older you are, whatever, but without Christ, the nearer you are to the day of your death. So friends, let's think about the older people as well. Let us press on them. Let us insist that they need to look to the Lord. Challenge them, friends. What think ye of Christ? But if you believe these things and you need to be saved, why don't you seek the Lord, and why did you cast yourself upon Him and cry for mercy and forgiveness? But oh, you say, but I'm such a terrible sinner. And it may well be, and I believe that can be, that you get to the stage where you see your own sin, and it can be such a burden to you. I'm a terrible sinner. You know what, friends? Every sinner is a terrible sinner. There's no such thing as a good sinner. Oh, you say, but I have my thoughts of, but I fear, because of what I am, I fear that God, that Christ won't have me. Listen, friend. Listen. Do you acknowledge, haven't you acknowledged that you're a sinner? Maybe in the quietness of your own heart. Maybe in your own room at home, that you, before God on your knees, you acknowledge you're a sinner. And so, of course, you've acknowledged that that's my great problem. Well, friend, here's the answer to your problem. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There you are. You're a sinner. He's come to call you to repentance. Amen. He came for such as you, friend. Didn't call come for the righteous. He came for sinners. To seek and to save that which was lost. Do you feel lost tonight? Do you know you're lost? Here's the answer. What think you of Christ, my friend? Oh, flee to him while you can. Oh, but some might say, but, what if he won't have mercy on me? What if he won't have mercy on me? Well, my friend, do you think he's going to make an exception of you when you think of his promises to all who will come to him? He has never, ever, ever. You know, friends, he cannot deny himself to you if you come to him in that spirit, seeking him truly and repenting of your sin. Oh, my sin, you say, but my sin. I'm such a terrible sinner. I'll tell you what. If you were able to turn to the person beside you tonight, quietly and silently, and speak to them, and they would tell you about their sin, you'd be amazed. You'd be shocked. Yes, even the finest Christian in this building tonight, you think your sins are bad. They may be bad and horrible, but I tell you what, I guarantee you, you'll find far more than one other person in this building with worse sins than you ever had. So that cannot be an excuse for you. So you may tonight then, you here tonight with many thoughts, but a but in your thinking. Let me also, while I've given you these encouragements, let me also warn you to beware of something. Beware that by refusing to believe as you ought to be, beware that you are not making God a liar. How are you doing that? By doubting his word. He has said, he has given you the invitation to come to him. So why will you not come? Do you not trust him? Do you not believe that he's able to do things for you? Oh, but what, I'll tell you one of the things that in my part of the world that still is, and it's a terrible setup because of, for various reasons, election. Oh, but what if I'm not elect? What if I'm not elect? If I'm elect, and this, friends, I'm not just making this up as a story or an illustration, happens, and I've heard it in my own ears. What if I'm not elect? What's the point of me praying? If I'm not elect, there's no way that I'm going to be saved. Next door neighbor to where I lived used to visit him, and this was always the refrain. What if I'm not elect? Do you pray? Well, yes, I try, but what if I'm not elect? And that old man, he died. I'm sad to say, I don't know how the Lord dealt with him at the end, but I'm sad to say I believe he wasn't saved. Why was he lost? Why would such be lost? Because he wasn't elect? Was because the Lord was not willing to forgive him? The Lord hadn't chosen him? No, friends, that's not why he was lost. He was lost because he didn't believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. He refused Christ. And friend, don't make such things an excuse. Yeah. Oh, yes, I have many thoughts often, but I also have so many problems and so many difficulties come up in my life. You know, friends, I believe that there will be more people in hell who had thoughts of Christ than those who never heard of him. But where do their thoughts bring them? Passing thoughts never took them to where they should have gone, seeking mercy and forgiveness. My friend, I say to some of you here tonight, are you, with all your privileges, the privileges that you have of being under gospel ministries, the privilege of being in gatherings such as these, are you going to be among such people who are going to be in the depths of hell because you did not come to Christ? It wasn't that you didn't think about it, but there was a but. And that but is nothing sometimes but an excuse. But then, finally, what think ye of Christ? Some will say, I think that I love him. And I know that there are some here tonight who can say that and genuinely say it. And I thank God that there are those here tonight who can truly say, well, despite all my failings, I love the Lord. Can you see it? Can you see it? But then there may be some, well, maybe that's going a bit too far for me. Some might say, well, I like him. I like Jesus. And I like coming to gatherings like these. And I like going to church and I like reading my Bible. Friend, let me make this clear to you. Liking him is not enough. Make no mistake about it. Being happy to come to a gathering like this is not enough. Liking being in company that you have here is not enough. Anything short of love for Christ will end up for you in a lost eternity. You have to love him. You will love him if you truly love him for his finished work in your own stead. You will love him for the way that he has saved your soul. And anything that falls short of that will be ending up in a lost eternity. Now, that is not to say that there are those here tonight who genuinely can say, I love the Lord as my Redeemer, my Mediator, my Savior, my Sacrifice. That's not to say, indeed, I would go as far as to say, while you say, I love the Lord, what think you of Christ? I love him. I can guarantee that anybody who genuinely loves the Lord here tonight will not be fully satisfied with the level and depth of their love for him. You will love, you will wish you loved him more. There's a mark for you tonight. The Christian is never content with himself as far as his love for Christ is concerned. All he knows is not that he loved God, but that he first loved him. But his own love always falls short. So when some say to him, what think you of Christ? They say, oh, I love him. But I wish I loved him more. I wish my heart was on fire more for him. When I think of what he has done for me, when I think of what he has suffered for me, when I think of all that he has done and what he has promised for me, it's terrible how little I love him. In comparison to things, maybe other things that I might like and love in this world. And so the Christian, the true Christian, despite their failings in that, nevertheless, despite their house being, as it was, we are told in Scripture, be not so with God, yet they say, he is all my salvation and my desire. Can you say that tonight? Is Christ all your salvation and your desire? Is he above everything and everyone else in this world? You young people, it's lovely to see, since I was here last, that marriages have occurred. You have come to know people here and you've loved them. Your young people here, I've noticed in one or two occasions, one or two who seem to be interested in each other. Lovely to see. But even these wonderful relationships, don't put them before or ahead of Christ. He has to be your first love. Your first love. Yes, the Christian will say, I love. They will say, yes, oh Lord, I'm a sinner, I confess my sins. But they also say, whom have I in the heavens high? But thee, O Lord, alone, and in the earth whom I desire beside thee, there is none. Can you say that tonight? Is the Lord everything to you this evening? Well, friends, surely that what you think of Christ then is a vital question for us all. And we say, if we are here tonight by His grace, we say, I love Him. And we say this also, that will not just be words in your mouth, it'll be seen in your life. It'll be seen in your life. And remember, I think I was telling someone earlier on this week, I can't remember who, but I think I did, but in my early Christian life, and we were coming from church, my wife and my two sons, they were young then, and we're walking up the street from our church one day, one Sabbath after the morning service. Street was quiet. We had been hanging around the church where everybody else had gone. But the Shinar Church, belonging to the Free Church at the time as well, further up, a few hundred yards up the road, which had a Gaelic congregation. And as we were walking up the road in the pavement, we saw this figure coming toward us. And we recognized an old lady. We didn't know her at the time, got to know her since then. She's today in glory. But as she was coming toward us, we were astonished. We were astonished at this because we heard her singing and literally dancing or skipping. This is a lady in her 80s, skipping or dancing down the road. And she had her Bible like this. And she was skipping and dancing and singing down the road. And just repeating, oh, I love my Savior. I love my Savior. I love my Savior. What an impression that made. We remember we stepped off the pavement to let her pass. She kept repeating and looking at us as she just kept on her way home down the road. It was seen and evidence in her life. You say you love the Lord. That's what you think of Him. You love Him for all He has done for you. Is it seen? Is it evident in your own life tonight? Well, my friends, I say this to your Christian friends here, those who profess to know and love the Lord, make sure that your profession is as the Lord would have it be. Make sure. Whatever, I say this to you, whatever you have professed up till now, it won't harm you. It won't harm you to examine yourself anew tonight. And to consider, where do I stand with God? Do I truly love the Lord? And if I'm allowed to quote a bit of a line of a hymn here, I'm going to do it anyway. Am I His? I think it's John Newton. Am I His or am I not? Do I love the Lord or no? Oft it causes anxious thoughts. And that's true for the Christian. That's true for the Christian. But it's only the true Christian who is worried and concerned about it in that way. While all of us have doubts and fears at times, friends, all of us. But at the end of the day, to answer before God in the silence of our own hearts, what think ye of Christ? Christian, who profess the Lord, ask yourself anew tonight. And any here tonight who know that they still do not love Christ, especially, as I say, not just the younger ones, but the older ones. Oh, don't wait another day. Don't put it off till the next year's conference. Don't even put it off till you get to church on Sunday. Don't put it off. I would love to hear when return to Scotland. Wonderful to hear news of young and old coming to faith in the next few weeks, why not the next few days, of people coming to faith in Christ and able without fear, when asked the question, what think ye of Christ, that I would hear that some of you, dear people, that I would hear of you, oh, you know what they said? When we asked the question, they said, I think he is the most wonderful in the whole world. To me, he is altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. I love the Lord. And my dear friends, nothing less will do. Let us pray. O Lord, we say with the psalmist, what shall I render to the Lord for all his gifts to me? We thank thee for the opportunity afforded to us to think upon these things, to think upon a wonderful Savior. May it please thee, O Lord, to impress upon us anew tonight what it is to have love for Christ. It is indeed to thy dear people an amazing thing that he ever looked upon them at all. And they know that if they truly love thee, it is only because that thou hast loved them first. But we know also our own responsibilities before thee, that a man's responsibility must not be laid aside. And all of us here tonight need to make our calling and election sure. All of us here, O Lord, need to seek the Lord. And so we pray that we would do so. We would ask ever, Blessed One, that thou would bless thy holy word, and that thou would continue to guide and direct us by thy Spirit, so that others would see that we have been with Jesus, in whose name we ask it all. Amen.